and good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic, the First Pioneers. On this podcast, we talk all about the Pioneer Magic format to keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer.
Oh, did you already say your name? Okay, sorry. My name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of Tokyo, Japan area.
Yeah, sometimes I say that I'm Kevin Finkel. Sometimes I just kind of jump into it, high flung, excited to talk about magic.
You got to build people name recognition. Get on it.
Yeah, I mean, I got that Twitter handle. That works. But anyways, guys, we have a lot of exciting things going on in Pioneer, as well as powerful things. We've just had a couple of big tournaments pass. We had a Pro Tour and a Grand Prix. We've got the Other Players Tour next weekend, along with like an SCG event that's going to have Pioneer. So a lot of cool Pioneer stuff to talk about. We're going to hold off a little bit on talking about those results until those next two tournaments. But we want to talk a little bit about decks. So we have seen some interesting things come out. You know, we've been seeing some new decks really shaking up the format. We've been seeing some combos that maybe people didn't think were great really showing up quite well. And, you know, it's an exciting time. And with all of these, you know, pro-level events finishing, I really want to kind of hammer home that, like, the format's not solved. Even when there's, like, 5-6 decks, I don't think that's everything you can be doing. I really want to just hit on, you know, this is going to be our kind of brewing episode. We want to talk about just some of those decks that are really out there, and then we spent the last week and a half here kind of brewing some decks of our own, of just something totally different from what's in the current meta to try and, you know, shake it up on our own, see what else you can do, and just maybe give you guys some jumping off points if you want to brew your own fun decks in Pioneer.
Yeah, I was totally surprised by, was it Ken Yukihiro? The black-white aura deck with Saran Master Edificer? Mm-hmm. Did not think that was going to be a top 8 deck, let alone a finalist deck. So it was a finalist, right?
Yeah, I think it was second place.
It's insane. It was like a was it the MTG Goldfish budget deck of the week sort of thing, right?
Hey, memes can be dreams.
I love it. Did you hear about
that's exactly what this episode is? And you know, honestly, like some of the weird things that we've tried back in the day in Frontier are now coming up in Pioneer decks, like 5-color Niv-Mizzet, you know,
yeah.
The Jeskai Ascendancy combo, Dredge, even for a while there, was kind of just a meme deck and became something really powerful. So after 5-color Niv-Mizzet, I'm like, okay, I'm literally going to go back and look at every bad
every jank
I'd ever made,
yeah.
Because I made this a year and a half ago, and at that time it was jank, and now it's suddenly becoming a deck. Anything I make must be magic. You know, I must have magic hands and don't even know it yet. So I'm going back and looking at some old
Did
decks.
Did you hear about what deck won, like, the GP Nagoya? Not the Pro Tour, the Players Tour, but, like, the GP?
I don't recall. What was it?
Blue-Red Wizard Prowess.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, that's a deck.
I'm like, what? Another budget deck? Yeah, and we talked about that on our Frontier show way back in the day as well, like saying that it could have legs, and, you know, it depending on the meta, yeah, it can.
Yeah, and it's something I've been waiting for. And I think, you know, even still, I do think we're going to see green-red Atarka's Command decks come back one day. We just need the mono to be better. And until then, blue-red seems like the right way to go if you're going to go a red X color.
Yeah, we need those pain lands. That'll help a lot.
Yes, we do. Or something new. I'm happy with some kind of a new land. You know, we haven't had a non-reprint land in quite a while.
I mean, I'm actually kind of looking into seeing more Eldrazi being played main deck if you have the pain lands, because right now there's no access to them. But if you have all 10, then I think we could really see some spicy lists. I think another, it was a mono-red Chandra deck, basically. Also made, like, top 8 at GP Nagoya, I think. And it was playing, like, Thought Not Seers.
Does it have the Chandra's, what is it, Breathalyzer or something like that?
I don't know, but it had, like, a Torch of Defiance. It had, I think, the new one from War that when it's removed, you know, it deals damage when the loyalty counter is removed. So I thought that was really interesting. There was a lot of cool
Chandra's
decks.
Regulator.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
I don't know if it was playing that, but I have seen that as a deck that kind of existed in Standard and probably wasn't great. Mm-hmm.
And I think it was playing Chandra's Acolyte as well.
Well, yeah, you got it.
So, yeah, all I mean, right. We're in a brew mood. Let's brew. You have 4 decks, so you should go first, I guess.
Ooh, well, I was gonna wait for one of your decks because I know that you brewed one similar to what I did, so we can go there. Okay, I'm gonna start off with, I sent you this list here, the last one on my list here.
Yeah.
Is, fun little thing I was looking at is Mill. You know, there's a lot of good Mill cards right now in Pioneer, and the format is slow enough that a, you know, five turn or so combo, that has legs. I think that's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of built around the two card combo of Fraying Sanity. It's a 3-mana enchantment. You enchant a player, and then whenever, at the end of every end step, if any amount of cards were put into their graveyard, you from the top of their library, you, or actually no, from anywhere, you put that many cards from the top of their library into their graveyard.
Yeah.
So that combos with a card called Traumatize, 5-mana blue sorcery. You put the top half of their library into their graveyard. So then end step, you put the other half into the graveyard. Boom, combo.
Yeah, I like like the idea. I think it's kind of cool tech against the inverter combo that wants to have as least amount of cards in their graveyard as possible.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I also think that some of the other mill cards work well against that deck. You know, if they're trying to play, like, you know, they'll play it, they've got a 4-card library, and they want to win by playing some, like, a Thassa's Oracle in the next turn, and you can just mill out those 4 cards. That's kind of good. I didn't go 100% on Turbo Mill. I was kind of building around that combo, but went with a more control shell. So I was thinking, you know, a lot of the kind of blue-white control shell kind of fits into this. So, you know, you splash white, and you get access to 4 Teferi Timebender, you get access to 4 Supreme Verdict, and that really, you know, helps you play a control game, helps you go a little bit longer. You know, you've got your ops, you've got your dig through times to find your combo. And I actually went with a little bit of a plan with Idyllic Tutor. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but then you can, you know, you can find your combo piece, you can find removal, you can find other ways to mill them out, like Sphinx's Tutelage as a one of. I was trying some things like a Patient Rebuilding as a one of in the sideboard.
So why build this blue white instead of blue black? Why not have more discard to be able to put more stuff into their graveyard to further?
Yeah, and that was really the question is well, blue black would give you discard, blue red would also give you some decent sweepers, and I just felt like white had the best sweepers as well as the best sideboard cards. You know, I really want to have Rest in Peace if I'm going to be milling them out in case they're a graveyard deck. I thought that combination would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as well as, I like how Teferi works with Murfolk Secret Keeper, along with, what is it, Drowned Secrets, so you can kind of really mill out a lot of cards just on a standard deck if they're not doing much.
And how many mana is Traumatized again? 4 mana? 5 mana?
It's 5 mana, so, you know, you could kill turn 5 if you've got the everything right in a row there. You could go, you know, turn 3, Fraying Sanity, turn 4, Sweeper, turn 5, kill them.
And I guess if you could play a +1 on Teferi Time Reveler, then you can play at the end of their turn and mill everything. That'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially, that's not a huge difference from doing it on your turn because you want them to mill the other half of the end step.
But, like, I can imagine them, like, bringing down an Inverter of Truth and putting it comes into play, and you're like, okay, I'm going to use Traumatize as an instant. Put top half of your library into the graveyard.
Now, so the other part that I didn't mention that's cool about this deck, and when I was playing it, I'm kind of like, I think this could be a deck if the inverter combo gets banned, not because you're saying that it's good against the inverter combo, which it is, but you can do all of these things to yourself as well. So you can put Fraying Sanity on either player. You can, you know, really mill yourself to fuel your dig through times. I've also got a Treasure Cruise in here.
Jace Wilder,
you can
Mystery,
even traumatize yourself, put your entire graveyard into your library, and that's an alternate way to do a Thassa win, or a Thassa's Oracle or a Jace win.
Was Thassa's Oracle in this? I don't see.
I do have it in the sideboard. I've got a Jace main. So kind of I'm kind of thinking, you know, I could transform into something where, hey, if I do want to do the plan where I mill out my entire library, I could do that.
Okay.
So maybe we could possibly see this being a shell that someone builds around. If Inverter gets banned, this would still be a way to win with that kind of, you know, mill out your entire library combo.
So one of the things that came out of last weekend's events were that blue-white control weren't that good against the aggro decks. How does this beat the aggro decks? Is having, you know, 4 Supreme Verdict fast enough to be like mono red?
I think it'd be difficult. I don't think that you're completely out of luck. I mean, I've got some fun sideboard things like Profane Memento to maybe fight against that.
What does that do again? Is it the artifact?
Whenever a creature is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, you gain a life. So you can mill, you know, 5 cards at the top of their library, gain 3 or 4 life. That really buys you a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. And you said it's 1 mana or 2 mana?
What, that Profane Memento? Yeah. It's 1 mana.
Oh, nice. Yeah, come down turn 1. Okay, so should I go next then?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So I know we both kind of shared this brew card. I wanted to brew around Atheros. I've been wanting to brew around...
There's two Atheroses, so you want to clarify
which one you mean? Yeah, Atheros, God of the Passage, the original one from Journey into Nyx. Yeah, I've been wanting to brew with this forever. So he's a 3-mana enchant creature, He's a legendary god, but he's an enchantment creature. And if you have devotion less than 7, I think he's not a creature. And I want to say he's a 5/7. I got to pull that up real quick.
I think he's a 6/5
or 6/5. So basically, his main ability is when a creature dies, if your opponent doesn't pay 3 life, you get that card directly back into your hand. Mm-hmm. And how I wanted to take advantage of this, I wanted to put this in Aristocrat's deck, where you're already going to be sacrificing everything to deal damage to your opponent, but now that they're kind of in that damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation. I especially like this with Kroxa, the Titan of Death's Hunger. So that's the new 2-mana Titan that when he comes into play, if he wasn't escaped... they have to discard a card or deal 3 damage, and if it's a non-land card, if it's a land card that they discard, they take 3 damage from that as well.
If it's a land or they don't have a card, then they take 3 damage.
Yeah, but basically when Kroxa dies, the Atheros trigger goes on the stack, so if they don't pay the 3 life on top of maybe the 3 life they've already taken, then Kroxa just goes right back to your hand and you can cast it again. Mm-hmm. So they're definitely going to be paying that 3 life no matter what, plus discarding a card, which is great, I think. So I got Atheros in there, I got Kroxa, I have some other Aristocrat-type cards like Judith, the Scourge Diva, Mayhem Devil.
I see you've got Cauldron Familiar, Witch's Oven, which I think people will be familiar with.
Kind of a solid card, I think, with the Witch's Oven in there. I got Murderous Rider as some removal, just because, you know, you can sacrifice it still as a creature and it goes back into your library. Woe Strider, you know, just be able to sacrifice everything. I'm not sure if I want to be playing the Cartel Aristocrat / Cruel Celebrant part of this, though. I wonder if I just want to go straight up sacrificing and not winning through, you know, the drains from Cruel Celebrant.
Okay.
But that's my take on Aristocrats. It's just an early build, but I love that kind of interaction between Atheros and all these other creatures when they die. Your opponent doesn't want you to play him again. He doesn't want them to go back to your hand.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your answer to hate cards like Rest in Peace, Leyland of the Void? Is your deck kind of in trouble against that entirely?
Well, because I'm playing Mardu, I can side in some enchantment removal. And, you know, if I'm not sacrificing my guys, I think this is still a really good aggro deck. Yeah, when you have like Dreadhorde Butcher, it gets in early and deals damage. Mm. You know, you get Judith, Mayhem Devil, and Woe Strider. They're all getting buffed up and stuff like that. Henny is another card I have from the sideboard, and Kalatis is another one to kind of be able to keep the pressure on my opponent. So,
okay,
I still think it's a decent aggro deck. But again, this is just a first try. I still have to test it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what a perfect curve out kind of thing is for you.
But you also had
had an Atheros deck. I didn't start that way, but it definitely showed up. Kind of early on in the format, I had seen someone messing with a combo-ish deck. And what they were doing is that we have two cards that are very similar. We have Midnight Reaper, which is whenever a creature you control that's non-token dies, you lose 1 life and draw a card. Actually, it deals you 1 damage. That's mildly relevant. I'll talk about that later. And there's Grim Harris Bex, which is also a 3/2 for 3, and whenever another creature dies, you draw a card. That's non-token. So the difference there is that the Midnight Reaper costs 1 life each time, but the Midnight Reaper counts himself, which I think is sometimes more useful. It's kind of a trade back and forth. So currently I have him as a 3/3 split. But what this deck would do is it would play those. It would also play the 2-mana Aristocrats you were talking about. So there's Cruel Celebrant, 1/2, that whenever a creature you control dies, you gain 1, your opponent loses 1. And Zulaport Cutthroat does the same thing, but it's a 1/1 for 1 and a black. And what you do is you play a whole bunch of zero mana artifact creatures. So there's Chamber Sentry, there's Stonecoil Serpent, there's Walking Ballista, there's Hangerback Walker, there's even like Ugin Celebrant if you're going that deep. So what you do is you play one of those, you draw a card or two, you play it for zero, you draw a card or two, you drain your opponent, you maybe draw into more of them, you just keep kind of, you can basically cycle them for zero mana and drain your opponent during that time.
Play for zero, play for zero.
And then what you have is you have Rally the Ancestors, and you can cast it for zero. So just white, return five or six creatures from your graveyard to the battlefield. Yeah. Draw five or six cards, drain five or six life.
That is sweet.
You know, it's sweet. Okay, so I thought about this deck, and there's a couple things. Yeah, I have. There's a couple things that I was excited about. I was thinking, we're already a deck playing Walking Ballista, and we have a lot of ways to gain life. So if my opponent shuts down my graveyard, I want a backup plan. Mm-hmm. Boom, Heliod.
Yeah.
So we've got the Heliod Walking Ballista combo with a lot of support for it, and it's not taking up, you know, deck slots that we weren't trying to already use.
Yeah.
On top of that, I did eventually think like, hey, you know, what about Athros? I remember that being a sweet card. Uh-huh. So if I'm, you know, discarding, you know, effectively cycling a Walking Ballista or a Hangerback Walker by casting it for zero, it goes to the graveyard, they have to pay three, or it goes right back to my hand, and I can play it for free again. So really, they have zero choice because I can always repay them for zero.
So this is basically more of a Rally the Ancestors deck than an Athros deck, but it's not the Rally the deck as in you want to fill up your graveyard quickly and then get them all back at the same time. It's more of like
It's definitely less all in on that rally plan, yeah.
It's more about like just an extra engine, a card draw engine slash a Aristocrats type engine.
Yeah, basically.
So you don't have any other sacrifice effects other than just playing the 0/0, or sorry, other than playing the XX at 0/0s, right? I mean, is there?
Yeah, I was looking at that. You know, I've got like an Erebos in the sideboard or something. It wasn't something I felt like I really needed. It would be nice to maybe be able to sack a Hangerback Walker when it, you know, grows big. Yeah. But Heliod also goes off sometimes. You know, if you've got, I've got a couple of Daxos in here, so if I'm playing a Walking Ballista, it plays it for zero, I get a life, or let's say a Hangerback Walker, because I'm not trying to combo. You know, I get a life from it entering, I get a life from it dying. That's two counters on something. If I've got a Cruel Celebrant in play, that's another drain, that's another life gain. So stuff can get really big really fast using this.
Now, don't we have a third kind of like Cruel Celebrant, Zulaport, Cutthroat effect now in Theros? I thought there was another one they added. Was that the one you had to pay mana? I wasn't sure.
No, I think you're thinking of, we got a new sacrifice effect, maybe?
Yeah, it's like one mana and they lose a life and you gain a life, I think. I think you had to pay mana. You know, you came at me with, how does this beat Rest in Peace? How does this beat Kalitas?
Yeah, Kalitas is definitely a big problem. We do have, you know, some removal for that. We've got some Fatal Push main. I've got some ways to remove it in the sideboard. Grasp of Darkness.
Yeah, I really like Fatal Push in this setup just because, you know, you're sacrificing everything so easily and it's always going to hit 1, 2, 3, or 4 creature casting costs.
Yeah. And I think we can sideboard out a little bit. I do love transformative sideboards even when they're not always good. Mm-hmm. So I've got an extra land. I've got some things like Karn, Scion of Urza in the sideboard. I've got some Thought Seizes. So yeah, you've got all these artifacts, and you can kind of go a little bit more just like a grindy Aristocrats control if they're really going hard on the graveyard hate.
Yeah, I like the main deck. I don't know about the
not so sure on the sideboard. So and that's fine. Yeah, so, you know, these are test decks, so that's a bit of a work in process. Maybe I'll have a better version by the time we tweet these out.
Yeah. Okay. Back to me then?
Yeah, unless you want me to go with another one.
Well, you went first, right?
Yeah, that's right. So, go ahead.
Then I went, and you went. So, okay. So, yeah. This is something I came up with yesterday when I was on the train. I've been trying to break this card for the longest time. It seems so good, but I wasn't just sure how to build around it. And that card is Legion's Initiative. It's a 1 red, 1 white enchantment, mythic rare enchantment from Dragon's Maze. And what it does is it gives all your red creatures +1/+0. And all your white creatures +0/+1. And you can sacrifice. You can pay 1 red and 1 white to exile it, actually. And what it does is it exiles all of your creatures. And then brings them back to the battlefield at the next combat step. So this is something that you could do in response to them trying to wipe your board the turn before, or this is something you can do right before you go to combat. And when your creatures come back into play, they gain haste. So that alone is kind of cool, you know, to be able to protect your creatures. But I thought, you know, what kind of ETB effects would really be able to kind of like break this? So the first thing I thought was Purphoros. Whenever a creature comes into play, it deals 2 damage to an opponent.
The old Purphoros, yeah,
the old Purphoros, God of the Forge, 4 mana whenever a creature comes into play. And I'm pretty sure that you can stack those, right? So as they all come back into play, Purphoros checks that they all came into play and they would all deal damage, correct? So after I had Purphoros and the Legion's Initiative, you know, interaction kind of down, I thought, what else could I be doing to kind of, you know, take advantage of these ETB effects? So Charming Prince was an auto-include. He can blink something again for, you know, more damage from Purphoros or whatever else. He can scry for you if you're, you know, drawing, you know, bad cards. Or you can gain life if you're playing against an aggro deck. Another good one I had, it was Thraben Inspector. Best one drop white card in the format. Gains you a clue every time he comes back. Viashino Pyromancer. This used to see play in red decks all the time. The 2/1 that does 2 damage to opponent when it comes into play.
Opponent or Planeswalker, I believe.
Yeah, opponent or Planeswalker, which is nice. Chain Whirler, I thought, could probably fit in here. You know, kill everything on their side. Deal 1 damage to them and Planeswalker again if they have that. So that seems like a good blink, a good blocker plus a good blinking effect. I also had, I thought I would try out Haktos, the Unscarred. So he's the new.
that's a card.
He's the new red, white, white legend from the Theros Beyond Death set. And basically, when he comes into play, it's choose a. Not choose. You have to choose at random. Yeah, a number between 2, 3. I think it's 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, 2, 3, or 4. So I haven't gotten to play this card yet. Are people actually prepared for it? Like, do most decks have answers, or is it like, oh, I've got Fatal Push and that's my only removal, can't do anything?
So how does that work, though? I'm wondering, like, if they have, if they play a Supreme Verdict and he has protection from 4, does that deal no damage?
Or? So Supreme Verdict kills him.
Kills him, right?
Yeah. Supreme Verdict doesn't deal damage and it doesn't target, so yes, yeah. So that still kills him.
But it has, yeah, he's a 6/1 and he has to attack each turn if able, and he has protection from each converted mana cost other than the chosen number. So against an aggro deck, you know, if he has, you know, number 4 is like the number, then basically he's indestructible against them. He can't be like burned out. He can't be blocked by anything, etc.
Maybe Chandra can get him. Yeah, I guess the one I'm definitely worried about is what is the giant Bone Crusher giant can be 2 mana or 3 mana.
Yeah.
So either way, I can kind of answer him. That worries me a little bit.
So I thought he'd be kind of a cool include. I got him in there, and then another card, 2 cards. I don't know if these are the best choices. I have Forbidding Spirit from the, I think it's Ravnica Allegiance. He's a 3/3 for 3 mana, 1 white-white. And when he enters a turn, until your next turn, creatures can attack you or Planeswalker control unless their controller pays 2 for each of those. That kind of reminded me of like what the old was, the Venser combo with like the Rhino guy. Were they like they couldn't attack?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think.
So I'm thinking
Venser was dumb.
Yeah, you play this, they can't really attack you. It kind of saves you against aggro decks a little bit.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure. Would they stack? Probably not.
They do.
They do. So like, if I blinked them twice, would they have to pay 4 to attack me next turn?
Yeah. How would you blink them twice? Just curious.
Well, I have Jeskai Barricade in here along with the.
Okay.
With the Charming Prince, so those are 2 ways to blink
them. Yeah, those are both ways to blink them again.
Okay. Jeskai Barricade, I thought maybe it's a good way to kind of reset stuff. You want to, so it's a 0/4, 1/1 white wall with Flash and Defender, and when it enters the battlefield, you can return another target creature to its owner's hand. So you could, you know, reset your Charming Prince. You can get another clue from Thraben Inspector. You can do 2 more damage with Viashino Pyromancer. You could activate Chain Whirler again, or, you know, reset Haktos, like I said, and also Purphoros. You know, he'll deal damage that entire time.
So what I don't see is any removal.
I have 3 Deafening Clarion.
Okay.
So I don't mind kind of killing all my guys, and the reason for that is because I'm also playing Return to the Ranks. So, which is the X white-white sorcery from M15 with Convoke. And you can return X target cards with converted mana cost of 2 or less from the battlefield to the graveyard. Sorry, from the graveyard to the battlefield. So you get back your Thrabens, your Charming Princes, your Barricades, your Pyromancers, and stuff like that. I don't know if that's the best card.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know, it might be kind of a good way to get more value out of my creatures.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's the idea, that's the plan. I call the deck Flashbang, because you're flashing guys back into play, and then you hit them with Purphoros Bang. You win by just dealing massive amounts of damage with the blinks.
All right.
Sorry, I talked a lot about that.
No, you're fine. Yeah, it's interesting. I want to try Hackdos. That's the part I'm excited about. I'm not so sure about the everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like, how would you... I mean, Legion's Initiative seems like it could be a broken card.
Yeah, I mean, I wish you had more red-white creatures, because those get +1/+1. You've got a lot of white creatures, which only get +0/+1.
But there's not a lot of red-white with the ETB effects.
Thraven Inspector, that becomes a 1/3 on turn 2. It doesn't seem that exciting to me. All right, I'm going to move on to my next one. This one I'm going to go pretty quick through, because it's not the most creative idea, but it's something that I think is being underlooked and has some legs.
Mm-hmm.
Is an Aetherflux Reservoir deck. So everyone knows that if they play any kind of Commander, I think. Did that get banned?
Which one?
I don't actually play that much Commander.
Yeah.
Aetherflux Reservoir. So that's the one that whenever you cast a spell,
you
gain
life
equal to the number of spells that you've cast this turn. So what you can do is you can play a bunch of 0 or 1 mana artifacts and Paradoxical Outcome. So you return all these artifacts to your hand, you draw a ton of cards, and then you play them all in one turn and blow them up with Aetherflux Reservoir. So you get to play a lot of cool kind of hate cards main. You get to play Pithing Needle main. You get to play the new, what is it called? The Soul Guide Lantern. You can play that main deck, since it just cycles if it's not good. Or it's really, really good at main deck in some matchups. I've got like Wishing Well, Astral Cornucopia. You play Emry, of course, because that just replays a bunch of your ones in the graveyard. The other way to kind of combo with this is you can play Displacement Wave. That returns all permanents, which are mana X or less, other than lands, to their owner's hands. So you can play that for just 2 blue mana, return all of your 0 mana artifacts, replay them all, and you can do that really easily to go off quite quickly.
So this is a mono blue build.
This is mono blue.
I've seen people build with like SRAM before, or like Joria.
Yeah, so SRAM requires that you use the ones that are like...
equipment.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable. You know, there's at least 3 zero mana equipment. You know, there's Bonesaw, there's Cathar's Shield, there's the other shield that's exactly identical to Cathar's Shield, there's Spider Net
Web. Shadow Spear now.
I've definitely played this before. Yeah, Shadow Spear is 1 mana, but that's an awesome card.
Okay, so... Yeah, I mean, I could see this. More of a tempo blue deck kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, it's another combo deck that doesn't need the graveyard to go off, which kind of is where I want to lean towards, because there is a lot of good graveyard hate right now. So if you can kind of combo without that, then it's a nice way to look at something else. And again, you know, there's some good combos right now. I think the Inverter combo is very strong. We'll see what people bring as hate for that. But if it gets banned or they find ways to hate specifically that deck, then I think other decks might be... decks like this might have some legs.
Yeah, they said Graveyard Hate is not good against Inverter, because they're just like, okay, thanks for giving me the win.
Yeah, sometimes it's not so great.
I see you do have Emry, Lurker of the Lock, in here, and she gets everything back from the graveyard, right? She lets you cast, so that is kind of a graveyard deck.
It's kind of like the Bomberman deck in Legacy.
You need to be able to like sack something. You need to be able to get rid of, you know, some kind of graveyard.
Well, she also mills 4 on her own. Or you can, you know, lose a Ornithopter or play a second, what is it called? The Mox Amber.
So how do you get rid of the graveyard hate if someone lands a Rest in Peace against you? Because you kind of need that to go off, right?
No, I really don't care if they play a Rest in Peace against me.
But how do you get all the cards back? And that's what I'm saying. I guess you just bounce them with...
I'm returning them to my hand. Yeah, they're going from play to my hand.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I see that now. And I see you also have Sai in the sideboard, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Master Thopterist. Brazen Borrower bounces,
yeah, I've seen right? versions that play, like, Sai as well as Saheeli main. I felt like that isn't as strong because, you know, the Thopterists don't do that much. I'd rather be a little bit more all-in on the combo with this version.
Would this have any problems against control? I'm wondering, like, a blue-white? I mean, it seems... Do you have enough to disrupt
possibly
them?
If they're countering all of my actual combo pieces, then maybe, yeah. I mean, we do get to play Metallic Rebuke, which is a one mana counter spell, as well as get to play a Mystical Dispute from the sideboard, so a lot of that effect for one blue.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know about this against aggro, though. How do you beat aggro? Like, more red.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing blockers and... You can kill them pretty quick. You can go turn 4 or turn 5.
Yeah, you're dead by turn 3, turn 4 probably, though. I guess you get the Radiant Fountain in there.
Not with current aggro, yeah. I mean, I've got some life gain.
Yeah. It's fun, though. It looks fun. I'm glad
you
brought this to our attention. All right, so I got one more, and then you got one more, right?
Yep.
All right, so...
I'm saving my best for last here.
So another card that I've been wanting to brew around is the Finale of Devastation. This has seen a lot of play in Standard, I think, in the... Was it the blue-green kind of rampy Simic deck that... You know, basically what it does, it's lets you search for a card in your library or graveyard with converted cost of X or less. And if... Mm-hmm. And then put it into the battlefield, and if X was 10 or more, you give all your creatures plus X in haste until the end of turn. So I wanted to see how I could kind of break this in Pioneer. Like, what would be like a good way to kind of like go super wide and a archetype that I haven't seen too much of at all. Has been green-white tokens, which used to be really good in Standard.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd try to build like an old-school green-white tokens deck, but it uses the Finale of Devastation, searching up some, you know, key cards in order to win. So one of the ways to do that... I have the Token Makers. I got Secure the Waste in here. I got Raise the Alarm. I have Hangerback Walker... Voice of Resurgence, Bramaz, so all these kind of things that kind of make a lot of tokens for you. And basically what you would be searching up with Finale of Devastation would be something like Endray's Forerunners, which is kind of how it's used in Standard. It gives all creatures +2/+2, Trample and Vigilance, I believe.
Yeah, Vigilance.
And if you're worried about, you know, getting Settle the Wreckage against you, I also am playing... 2 Shalai in here to give you hexproof, and I'm playing 2 Dragonlord Dromokas. So Shalai gives you hexproof, plus you can give everybody tokens if you pay 6 mana. And Dromoka is they can't cast any cards. He can be, I mean, if they don't counter, basically, if they don't counter your, if they don't counter your finale, then this comes down and you pretty much, you know, win the game on the spot. Because they can't.
So you've only got 2 Finale of Devastation. How do you feel about when you don't draw the card?
So when I don't draw the card, so basically how it went, again, Shalai gives all my tokens +1/+1 counters, which is nice. And I also am playing Growing Rites of Itlamok. I thought this would be a fun card to play with green-white tokens because you're making a tons of creatures. And basically this is a 3 mana enchantment, and when you have 4 cards... Sorry, when it comes into play, you get to look at the top 4 cards of your library, and you can get a creature from one of those. So that kind of helps you dig to one of the cards you need to win the game. And when you have 4 more creatures in play, it flips into the Cradle of the Sun, which is basically Gaia's Cradle. So you're making all this mana to kind of speed out your Finale of Devastation more quickly, or to make a huge Secure of the Waste, or even to cast Endray's Forerunners more quickly. So you're either going to be grinding them out just with tokens, that get big with Shalai, or, you know, you're going to win through getting a huge Finale of Devastation.
Okay.
So that is the idea of the deck.
Yeah, it seems very fair, which is my worry about it. I feel like you're playing a lot of the cards that I'm like, oh, I love that card, but it just hasn't been powerful enough for Pioneer.
It
and
needs
stuff like
speed.
Voice of Resurgence, Bramaz.
Yeah, it needs more speed. I always play fair, and that's bad.
All right, well, this is not about fair. Fair is no fun. All right. Do you want to say anything more on that one, or do you wanna...
I think that's enough. That's basically just the idea I wanted to pitch to everybody.
Okay. Before my last one, I just wanted to go over. Did you have anything else you were testing that you wanna? You're like, hey, I tried this. It worked. It didn't work. I still want to go deeper on it. Anything like that? I've got three I want to mention, so I've got some honorable mentions here.
I mean, I've been trying out, I mean, it's not really a brew. I've been trying out Abs and Aggro. It's been doing all right.
That's a thing. Yeah, you know what? That might go deep. There will one day be an Abs and Aggro deck, and so it doesn't hurt to be ahead of the curve on that one.
Another one that I've been working on is, it's a Boros Tokens deck called Barokens. And, okay. basically, it's... it uses the Return to the Ranks like I talked about, you know, in the other deck, and also Dusk to Dawn. And it's playing all these two power creatures. So, you know, you have like Aurelia, the Exemplar of Justice, the 2/5. You have Tajik, Blade of the Legion.
I'd forgotten about Dusk to Dawn. I might have to try that in my Astros deck, because all of those X creatures are two or less power.
Yeah, you get them all back to your hand. So basically, Dusk to Dawn, it destroys everything with power 3 or greater, and then the bottom side... you can cast it from your graveyard to get all your creatures of power 2 or less back to your hand. So I have Tajik, Blade of the Legion.
Okay.
Which is he's a 2/2. When you attack with 3, he gets +1/+5. He's indestructible.
Oh, that Tajik. I was thinking of even
that
new Tajik.
The 2/2 one that's indestructible. And
oh boy.
I got Reckless Bushwhacker because he's 2 power. You get him back. I got Goblin Rabble Master because it's 2 power. And Offenza, Kinsfury Spirit, is just a one-off, just because you get everything back from Return to the Ranks, and everything gets like a counter on it. Thraven Inspector, Legion Loyalist, which is really good with Tajik, I think, in like, Rabble Master. Kithion, you know, because...
Of course, yeah, if you're playing Kithion. There's also the 1/1 that becomes a 2/2 if you have 3 or more creatures. I don't know if that one's
yeah,
any good.
Yeah, the Boros, the Lieutenant or something like that, I think. Then also I got like Legion's Landing and Elspeth in here, the new Sun's Nemesis. So,
interesting, okay.
So that was my other kind of aggro deck. I haven't really tested it out yet, though.
All right, let me see what I want to mention. So I've been trying to get Metalwork Colossus to work. I think I've talked to you about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a mono blue version that it's good, it's just way too slow. You just play a bunch of like draw card, you know, eggs kind of things, like 2 mana, like draw card when it comes into play.
Did it win?
And then you can play Metalwork for free, and that's kind of cool.
Didn't it win with like that 6 mana black card before or something? You know, talking about the one that had like you can put the two. It gets the. I can't remember that key phrase. But you get like the.
Like the one you can't lose the game, or like the one that.
No, it's like the black rare. It's kind of a bulk rare, and whenever you.
The Marionette Master or something like
but
that.
But it's like whenever an artifact dies, they lose life
equal to its power. Yeah, I wasn't going with that. Like I said, I was mono blue. That wasn't going great. I also tried a mono green version because I was thinking the Great Henge plus Metalwork Colossus. I got to do it once when I was testing. Like, I had the Great Henge in play, I played a Metalwork Colossus for free. I sacked 2 of the Sanctum of Ugin or whatever it's called to search up 2 more Metal Colossus. You know, each one of them draws me a card and comes into free, and it's an 11/11. But like, other than that, it was just worse than the Green Ramp deck. So,
Green Ramp's not in a good spot right now.
The other one I couldn't get to work was the Waste Not deck. So Waste Not, it seems like such a good card.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but like, it seems like we've gotten cards that would enable it recently. And even with like that Dark Deal, I couldn't get a deck to work around it. I was trying it with Kroxa, but there weren't any really good red wheels.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just was really awkward deck. So
didn't we just get something
good? You're trying those,
good.
Let me know.
Didn't we just get a good discard card from the Theros block?
No, we got an exile card.
Huh.
If that matters.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about the black enchantments, the Underworld Dreams, I think.
Yeah, we got Underworld Dreams. Yeah, I tried it with Underworld Dreams. That wasn't doing great either.
Maybe like you could do like a discard draw devotion deck. Triple Ds.
Yeah.
Yeah,
something like that. The other one I'm still going deep on, and I just don't have a list for you guys yet, is Godfrey's Gift. I still think there's something there. You know, like I said, I don't really want to be playing graveyard hateable stuff, but love that card.
Yeah, I like potential. To see it better. Just too much graveyard hate, I think.
All right, last one I got. Real deck here. Got a full deck list. This is a fun one. Something I've been wanting to do since the inception of this format is I'm like, hey, we've got Risen Reef. You know, the 1-1, mm-hmm. whenever it or another elemental comes into play, you look at the top card. If it's a land, you put it into play tapped. Otherwise, yep. otherwise you get to just draw it. And you play it with Master of Waves. So when a Master of Waves comes into play, it makes a 1-0 elemental for each of your Devotion of Blue. So basically, draw cards or better for your Devotion of Blue.
Nice.
All right, so those are really the two cards I was building around. The immediate card that came to mind is kind of the third one there was Shorecrusher Elemental, which is a blue-blue-blue elemental.
Seems tough and to play, though.
Never saw it play, really, but does really well. And then the other one I really want to do is the new Thassa. So the 4-mana Thassa, you can blink your Master of Waves, it comes back into play and, you know, doubles the elementals you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I realize I've got a lot of mana. I was starting to build around, like, Cavalier of Gales turned out to be really good. So that's another elemental. It's another 3 blue devotion pips. It draws you cards. I also really like it with Risen Reef because you put a card back on top and then immediately look at it with Risen Reef and can put it into play.
One thing I do not like about this deck is the Gilded Goose that I see you have in there.
Yeah, you know, so for mana acceleration, I need it a little bit on the bottom end. So right now I've got Gilded Goose, which is one of my only options to tap for blue for 1 mana. Mm-hmm. And then I went with Kiora's Follower as my 2-drop. That maybe should just be, what is the Hexproof 0/3?
The Sylvan Caryatid.
Yeah, Sylvan Caryatid, or it could maybe be the Leafkin Elemental, but that one only makes green, so I didn't love it. I wanted someone that could make blue. This also, you know, untaps your Nykthos's.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of liked it. And plus it's, you know, a blue pip, so I like that about the Kiora Follower.
You're not really taking advantage of Nykthos in this deck, are you? I mean, just short Crusher Elemental, you can only go up to, like, what, a 5-1 or something?
Well, so I've got a lot of top end. So I've got Agent of Treachery.
Uh-huh.
Which is incredible with Thassa, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Uro in the deck, who's just a good ramp acceleration, mm-hmm. everything kind of card. I've got 1 Gadwick, so that's another way to just dump a bunch of mana into him and go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one card that I almost feel like other blue devotion decks should be trying out, I have it here as one of, I've liked it every time I've cast it, is Hour of Eternity. You know what that one does?
Is that the blue one that, like, gains control of everybody or something?
No. So it's blue, 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 XX. And you choose X creatures in your graveyard and return them to play as 4/4 creatures. So basically you Scarab God X creatures.
But don't they also have the XX card that, like, lets you get a Planeswalker or a creature?
You know what? That might be good, too. The one that steals all of their creatures or Planeswalkers. Yeah. I probably need that in the 75 here somewhere. But Hour of Eternity has also impressed me because, you know, you bring back like an Agent of Treachery, uh-huh. or you bring back a 4/4 Master of Waves, along with something that gives devotion. Like, and they can be really nasty.
They won't really be playing any kind of Grave Hate against you either, so.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had
so
mostly.
So this deck's done well. It's been a lot of fun.
We had mostly different decks, which is good. I actually wanted to build a Risen Reef deck as well. I wanted to build a deck around Risen Reef and Zendikar's Royal, which is the 5-mana enchantment. Whenever a land comes into play, you get a 2/2 elemental. And whenever you get that 2/2 elemental, you basically activate the Risen Reef again. So they just kind of keep on going back and forth off each other. And then you just get like tons of 2/2 tokens. But I don't know how you would win after that.
Oh, you know what deck I totally should have talked about? Because I had already built it and I just have forgotten about it. Is I had a I guess it's also bad. I had a Bolas Citadel deck. Do you remember that one? So that's the 6-mana artifact. You can look at the top card of your deck, and you can play the top card of your library.
Yeah.
And if it's a spell, you pay life instead.
Yeah.
So there were some cool things that went with that. Like, you know, you can kind of just win the game. So Dryad of Elysia Grove was really the part that made that good, is you're basically a mono-green deck playing a black-black-black artifact. Uh-huh. So the Dryad makes that good. And he gives you an extra land drop every turn, so you can just keep playing lands off the top of your deck.
Sounds janky.
Oh, it's good, but the only problem is that if they kill your creatures, you just don't do anything with that deck. Yeah. So
yeah,
I can ship you that one, too. It was fun.
Well, this was fun, though. I'm glad we had a chance to kind of nerd out with our bad jank and
Yeah, you'll get Sirius by Kevin back next week, maybe, because we'll want to talk about all these new results. But in the meantime, anyone who liked our episode, who wants to hear more about jank decks, who, if you heard anything in here that you're like, I'm going to build on that, or if you want me to go deeper on any of these decks, if you want to see any of these deck lists, just go ahead and tweet out at me. I'm at MTG Frontier, MTG Pioneer, sorry.
Yeah.
On Twitter. You can also find us on Reddit, on Facebook, and you can listen to us
Discord.
On all kinds of places. Yeah. So we're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Podbean.
Yeah. And I think we're still trying to figure out the other ones, so hopefully we'll get on
there. Google Play, yeah, that one keeps giving us trouble for some reason.
Yeah. Like, you have to do this. What? No, we don't have that. Also, I wanted to ask you one more question. So going into the event next week, who's your pick for having, you know, like a really cool, interesting deck?
I don't know. That's what I was kind of worried about. I'm seeing like six decks mostly right now, and I'm like, I'm waiting to see who's going to bring something that's really different from that.
I'm hoping that Sam Black gives us some new hotness.
All right,
he's attending. I'm pretty sure he's attending.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh yeah. So if you guys want to contact me, my name is Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan Hobbyist. You can find me on my website, www.thejapanhobbyist.com, or you can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, which is YOSCHWENKY.
All right, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you guys for listening. We are the First Pioneer Podcast, and we bring our listeners up to date with what is new, powerful, and interesting in the world of Pioneer. Signing off.